amazing things. Just Google her if you don't know her. There's probably, not now, but later. Pages and pages and pages where she's running from, she was, for several years, she was smuggling in ink to the underground press in Russia back in the Iron Curtain days, being chased by the KGB. Mom, James Bond. So I had a pretty cool mom. And I was kind of always known as Billy's boy. But I played sports here, and his younger brother, Timothy Limbacher, was a good friend of mine. And my whole deal was sports. And so God blessed me. And I played football and baseball and went on to college and played football and baseball. And then all of a sudden I got into coaching. God was blessing me. I said, God, I want to be the coach that wins it all, because winning's fun. How many know that winning's fun? And I kind of want to be the coach. I hate to lose. So I said, I want to be the coach who wins it all and gives you all the glory. So I sought God, and man, did we start winning on the high school level. We won multiple championships. I was the first coach to reach 500, or going to reach 500, and God called me out on 499. And that was in high school, and many state championships. Then I went and coached for the University of Arkansas, and we won many Southwest Conference. Now they're in the Southeast Conference championships. Went to Omaha. Then I coached for the Houston Astros, where we went to the World Series in 05. And then I was also a part of that team, this last team, that had won it 2 years ago. And so I have been and still am in baseball, but still I'm a senior pastor. God's called me, and I'm still traveling, and I just got here from Guymon, Oklahoma. And I am so glad to be here with you, because I believe there's a word tonight. Come on. Do y'all believe it? Yeah. You got to expect it now. I know. I've been in those locker rooms with champions. They pull now. Yeah, they expect it. Rain doesn't just fall. It's pulled by gravity. Yeah. It's pulled by gravity. If there was no gravity pulling that rain, then it would float around. But you know what? The same ladder rain. We need to learn how to pull. Amen? Yeah. So let's pull. And God's got a word tonight. And this word is so powerful that 45 years ago, my mom preached it, and a man named John Osteen heard it. You ever heard that name before? Had a son named Joel and others. And now they got a pretty big church doing a lot of great things around the world. And he heard this message. And this was before, now we knew John's church all the way, all the growing stages. And then before it came to Joel, and it got pretty big with John, Lakewood Baptist. But he heard this message, and he said, "Who is this lady? Who is this man, Billy Brim?" Well, it's not a man; it's a woman. Well, whatever. He got that tape, and said, "I gotta have that message. Wherever she is, get her, fly her down here, and have her speak this to my church." Back during when it was in the barn, if you've ever heard his testimony. Well, now the church is in an ex-NBA stadium. And the Lord told me later, as I'm preaching this 45 years later, he said, that's for the church today. That wasn't just for that church. That was for my whole church, the body of Christ. But they picked it up. Then there was a young man preaching at the time, and he was about to quit the ministry, and he got a hold of that cassette. He went to Arkansas in a cabin, and he was about to quit the ministry. Heard this message, changed it. Kenneth Copeland. The message you're about to hear tonight, 45 years later, but God said, bring that back. Now's the time. Man, I knew something about 2020 and all this. So anyway, all of this powerful. So they hear this message and they apply it, and then look what happens. Well, it's all about people. Somebody say people. People. It's all about people, right? Okay, so I'm doing this conference in Arkansas, and it was a lot of mayors and the governor and different people were there, and I heard this verse, and it just rang in my spirit, and I couldn't get away from it. If you'd put it up there or there, you can put it wherever you want. You can put it on the backboard. Oh, is it up there? The Bible in the sky. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking, and do not be silent. Paul, our hero, right? Paul, he was afraid. God's not going to say this to him if he wasn't. So, don't be silent. Click. This is the NIV. This is Acts 18, 9 and 10, NIV. for I am with you. That should have been enough. And no one's going to attack and harm you. Now, everybody say attack and harm. Now, how many know that attack and harm has been happening at places and in this world today? There's a lot of attack and harm. And you would thought God would say, I'm not going to let anybody attack and harm you because... And God could have came in here and go, I am God, I'm Jehovah. He could have said, I'll send angels out. No, because I have many people in this city. How many know he's got people in every city? Are y'all with me? God, that right there tells me that the responsibility of attacks and harms falls on the people. Are y'all with me? God has given man authority. God has placed this authority and given it back to man, right? So we know the plan. Wait, God, do you need people? I Googled, does God need people? No, in his sovereignty, God needs nothing. He can do anything at any time. Wait a minute. As I dug more into the scriptures, I found out that God, in his sovereignty, chose. In his sovereignty, he chose to have a plan, and he had that plan all along. Oh, what a planner, oh, what a plan. Amen? And in that plan, he needs us. He needs people, and we're his people. And God is all about reaching the people. But we are the people. And I said, God, what is the message? What is the word? What is it? And I know there can be a lot, but you got to understand sports people. Man, give me what it's all about here. Who are these people? And he gave it to me. And here it came. And it came in an awkward way. And I'm going to try to give it to you as quick as I can, but I don't want to leave anything out. And it came a year ago. I was watching the playoffs, and I'm a real big Chicago Bears fan. Okay. I know, I'm alone. I know. I've done this in Chicago, cricket. And I'm like, and the way I became, my mom can tell you the story. I was 8 years old, Collinsville, 624 South 13th Street, and I'm watching this movie called Brian's Song. True story about Brian Piccolo, a white running back from Wake Forest, and his roommate, black man named Gale Sayers from the University of Kansas, and back in the segregation times, and they roomed together. They had never been with a white or black, and now they're rooming together, but they become best friends. It's a tearjerker because Brian dies from cancer. It's a tearjerker. It's a true story. And I'm 8 years old in front of that big, huge console TV. Y'all remember those? I was the channel. Yeah, okay. So, and oh, was I ever crying? And I've been crying ever since because the Bears were that bad. God, why couldn't it have been the Patriots? But anyway, it doesn't matter. So finally, years go by. We go to the playoffs once. We had 185 where we won it. Duh, Bears. You know, okay. But all those years, and I'm a fan, what does that have to do with anything? You're gonna see it here in just a second. And then last year, we're in the playoffs. What? We're in the playoffs. So my whole family, we're all Bears fans. And we got our Bears gear on, and we're playing the Eagles in the playoffs, and we're so excited. And it went back and forth. They scored with 1 minute to go. All we need is a field goal. We drive it down, and we're in field goal range. So our whole family, I'm like this with my son. We're holding each other. And the field goal kicker comes out. If he makes it, we win. He kicks it. Goes right through. I've been waiting years. And I begin to run around the house. And I'm running, just celebrating. My kids are jumping up and down. My wife, we're all just Bear fans. And all of a sudden, about the third lap around my house, my son stops me and says, Dad, something happened. What? So we look at the TV, and they had called a timeout right before he kicked it. So we got to do it again. So we get back into position. He kicks it, snaps it, kicks it. This time, it hit the goalpost. Boing, hit the other goalpost. Boing, no good. Time on the clock, zero. We went from Joyville, we went from celebration to... And I remember ripping that jersey off. Now, I'm still a Christian. Now, this is the part I want y'all to stay with me on this. I'm still going to heaven. My name is on the roll, but I am not happy about the situation. And I get upset. I'm preaching. This is on a Saturday. I'm preaching a sermon Sunday. Golly. Why do they? And I mean, I just got a bad attitude. And I can't shake the attitude. Now, all this is going to come to this message that was preached 45 years ago. And all of this, and to Brother Cope, all that. And your ears need to hear it tonight. Amen. So do mine. And so I have this attitude. I have this, I can't shake it. It's just am I still ahead? Yes, I'm still born again. I'm still, but I can't shake it. I try to do things, I can't shake it. So I go to my office and I just begin to study. And I look down at my study notes for Sunday. And this is, and I was studying on light, right? Light, Hebrew or. It's light. Here's some of the things that I had written down. Now, I still have the bad attitude. We just lost. Are y'all with me? Y'all have to stay with me on that. And I had written down here, in this book, light is a constant. It's unchangeable. It travels 186,282 miles per second. Big whoop. Found out if you fired a gun and the bullet traveled the speed of light, the bullet would travel the distance circling the earth 7 times before your finger came off. Wow, it's fast. The bear still lost. Are y'all with me? Now, some of you guys think that this may not be any kind of an issue. Whoo. But watch this. Then I found this study that Mom had given to me. And this is a scientific, based on Einstein's theory of relativity, that they did the math in it and said if we could travel near the speed of light, this would happen. And for instance, they said if we could travel 80% of the speed of light, which we can't, but if we could, mathematically, according to Einstein's theory of relativity, if two astronauts got on a spaceship, went 80% of the speed of light for 15 days, and 15 days they came back, so that's a total of 30 days, but when they got back, because they were traveling 80% of the speed of light, the Earth would have aged 60 days. It would have speeded up. It would have slowed down. Are y'all getting this with me? Because they traveled that fast. So they put the mathematics to it, and they even upped it to 90%. And if they went out 15 days and 15 days back, that's 30 total days. But the Earth would have aged 10 years. Woo! That was a big jump. So they went to 99.9. That you can't figure it in at 100 because it's timelessness, and you'll disappear. That's timelessness. And you'll just, so they can't do mathematically that equation. But they did it at 99.9. And if you send out 15 days and 15 days back two astronauts, they would have aged how many days? 30 days. Then they would have really been shocked because according to Einstein's theory, the Earth would have aged 30,000 years. Now, if you do the division, watch this. Then that means one day equals 1,000 years. Hello? We're catching up to the Bible here. Scientists are catching up. That's in the Bible. So I thought all this was pretty cool. Brother Hagin said this. When science discovered timelessness, they discovered eternity in God. Now God can reveal to man the hidden things in a parallel fashion as they come to us spiritually as the light gets brighter in the church. But that's the key. The light must get brighter in the church. Okay? Now, so I'm still studying. Still, don't forget, bad attitude. My bear's still lost. It wasn't fair. So I found this scripture, God is light. John 1, 1 through 5. Let's read it. Everybody look up here. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God with God, and the Word was God. Click. The same was in the beginning with God. Click. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Still can't shake this thing. It's on me. I still can't shake it. Click. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Kind of got my attention. Light of men. Okay, click. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness what? Comprehended it not. which in the Greek means overpower. So in other words, it says, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not or could not overpower light. Darkness cannot overpower light. Light, darkness can only exist where light isn't. Are y'all with me? Pretty easy stuff. Stay with me. All right. So darkness cannot overpower light. Light always, always overpowers darkness. With this in mind, I read Matthew 5:14-16. Ye are the light of the world, and the city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Click. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Click. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So they may see your good works. I started thinking about Ephesians 2:10. Put that one up there real quick. Your good works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Which God hath foreordained that we should what?
Walk.
Now everybody say walk. That's a key word in this message, and you're going to find out here in just a second. Walk. And the Bible says that we're to walk in the light. The Bible says we're to walk in faith, walk by faith, walk in truth, walk in wisdom, walk in these things. And so I remember Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. So you can walk in darkness or walk in light. But he said, you can walk, but he said, those who follow me shall not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of light. And then I heard, or a good attitude. But wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I'm Billy's boy. And all of a sudden, guess what happened to the bad attitude? As I'm getting into the Word, I fell at leave. I felt that heaviness. Put on the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. Does anybody remember that David Ingalls song? That's also scripture, by the way. Put on the garment of praise. That spirit of heaviness. That's darkness. Will it come on Christians? Absolutely. And when it does, we got to know. Listen, we got to understand. Things like that are going to happen, but we got to stay in the light. Now watch this. Okay. So what happened? So it leaves. I feel it leave. I'm in my office and I feel it leave. The Bears, I still love them. I'm not happy about the loss, but I felt that leave. And guess what? Scripture came in front of me. Psalm 119:130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding even to Chip, even to Bear fans. Are y'all with me? The entrance of the Word gave us light. My bad attitude left. Watch this now. This is the key, and because we're going to come back to this when we get to the end. And I heard the Lord. I heard him. Pray for the kicker. Did y'all forget about the game? Listen, I've coached on high school, college, and professional. There are crazy fans out there. I'm talking about death threat crazy. And all of a sudden, I hear God, because he loved people. And God has people for people. But some people that are qualified are not being used because they don't even know they're in dark. And when I was in the light and darkness out, I'm still a Christian there. I heard him. Was he trying to talk to me there? Yeah, but I couldn't hear him. Are y'all with me? How come I ain't hearing you, Lord? How come I don't have a plan? How come this or that? How come whatever? And so your answer's in the light. Your healing's in the light. Everything's in the light. Now we're going to get there. I'm jumping ahead of myself. So I hear, pray for the kicker. I get on my face and I go into intercession for that kicker because I know what him and his family is about to go through. I've been through that stuff before. And it's terrible. Why couldn't I hear him before? I wasn't in the light. Was I born again? Yeah. But I was not working alongside with God. I'm going to tell you right now, flat out, I don't live too far. I can get out of here. I see where the door is. Hopefully I can outrun you if I have to. But there are a lot of ministers that are not working with God. And I'm talking about ministers who are born again, Spirit-filled, and they're not working with Him. Does God love them? Absolutely. But they're not working alongside with Him. Does God want to work alongside? Absolutely. Wait until you hear this message. Woo! Song! All right. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
I said, are you ready?
Yes.
So mama gives me that message, and I listen to it, and I listen to my mama with fire and brimstone from 45 years ago. She still got it, man, 80 years old and kicking. She's preached, and she has been called on by two different presidents, and according to this last president, she's already had two trips to the White House. But mama's being used greatly by God, and thank God I got a good mama. Say, thank God for mamas.
Thank God for
mamas. Here's what her teaching was when John Osteen got a hold of this, and it turned Brother Copeland's ministry around as well. You have to know what walk means. We are told to walk in the light, walk in love, walk in truth. If you don't know this, my people perish for lack of knowledge, right? And so, mom teaches that the word walk, the root word of walk, means to carry on. When you actually get it, you get something, and now you're to take that, what they're talking about, and then carry onward and upward. Carry onward and upward. Carry it. So don't just stay there with your faith. Walk in faith. Carry it onward and upward. Are y'all with me? No. Onward and up. It's very clear in the Greek and it's very clear in the Hebrew. Both carry on. Arise, same thing. Hebrew word kum, get yourself to another level. One degree of glory to a higher degree of glory from one faith to faith. Are y'all with me now? I need some heads to do something. That's how coaches communicate. And so it means to carry on, carry on. And all of a sudden out of me when the first time I preached this, carry on my wayward son.
Yeah.
Just came out of there. Well, that's your flesh. There'll be peace when you are done. I like the sound here. Lay your weary head to rest.
Don't you cry no more.
No! See you old rockers, you. Now repent, we'll be all good. So now watch this. This is how cool God is. Why in the world that come out of me? So I preached the thing. It was good. Second time I preached this, I'm in Canada at a huge convention. And I didn't have in my notes, sing Carry On My Wayward Son by the group Kansas here. I'm even kind of wondering, is it going to come out? And so I'm get to this part, and it means to carry on. Y'all have to like smell like maple syrup and say A all the time, because I'm preaching to Canadians. And I said, it means carry onward and upward, carry on. Carry on my wayward son. Here it came again. And I sang the whole first verse. There'll be peace when you are gone. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. After that service was over in Canada, a member of the group of Kansas was in the congregation. And he comes up to me with tears coming down his face and said, the lead singer who wrote that, and we were all strung out on this and that, and we had been through some bad times, and we wanted to know if there was a God. And he was on a journey looking for the answer, and he found Jesus Christ. And he wrote that song. That's how God's cool. Praise the Lord. So all through the Bible, God tells us to walk with him. He walked with Adam and Eve. God walked with Abram. Remember in Genesis 17, 1 through 2? Let's go quickly. We're going to go quick. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Do what? Before me, and be thou perfect. Click. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and you will multiply thee exceedingly. He gives him a promise. Micah 6:8. He hath showed me, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee? What does he require? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and do what? Walk humbly before him. We know that Enoch walked before God. And he stepped into timelessness. Are y'all getting it? He disappeared. Walk. Walk. Carry onward and upward. John was one of the closest to Jesus. And he said this, and he was one of the 12 apostles, which there were 24 total, but 12 to apostles to the Lamb. And they had the ones who were Jesus' apostles had certain job descriptions, or a criteria, if you want to call it. And Peter explained this criteria in Acts chapter 1. And so John was one of him, and he was an apostle or one who had seen and heard. So whenever you hear them talk, you'll hear them talk, I've seen, I heard, I touched, I was there, I got the concert t-shirt, here's my ticket, I backstage pass, I was there. And you'll hear them say that in their letters and everything. So let's go to 1 John 1:1. Now here it comes. Here it comes, church. All right. That which was from the beginning. So here comes this apostle. And he heard and seen, and all these people, and that, you know, he's writing this, and they're listening. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. Click. For the life was manifested, and we seen it, and bear witness, and we show unto you. Is this King James? Okay. Unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Click. That which we have seen, heard, declare. See, they were their calling was the calling of a witness. And they're always seeing, hearing, and they're sharing. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may also may have, everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. With us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now here is the thing about this, people. And this is why you study, to show thyself approved. That word fellowship is not coffee and donuts. That word fellowship is not a lunch after church. That word fellowship there, the Amplified describes it the best, but it means partnership with. Woo, son. Now, we just said it. There's many, many Christians. Bless their hearts. God loves you. That was me too. That are not in fellowship with him. Yes, they're born again. Yes, they're called. Yes, they're in the ministry. But are they truly partnering up and working alongside with God? That's what it means, working alongside with God. Woo! Okay, he's going to tell us how and everything about it. Not just dinner, but partnership. The word says working alongside with, you're in partner with, and you get all the benefits of the partner. So, click. And these things we write you so that your joy may be, you're going to be one happy camper. That's my translation. Now that you know that you can partner with God, your ministry, your ministry is going to go off the charts. Why? Because God needs people. God has people. God, we're your people. You want all men saved. Yeah. But who are the ones that are truly working? I don't want to know who the Christians are. That's good. I'm not asking that. I want to know the ones that are in partnership with the Father. Woo. Okay. Click. Now you're going to be one happy camper. This then is the message which we declare and heard of him, and we declare to you. Not. If the Bible had sound effects, that's what would have happened right there. Not. Thank you, horn section. Here it comes. We heard, we seen, we touched, we were with him. This is the answer. Anything other is not that God is light. Let that ring in your spirit. And in him, just as important, is, come on, say it.
No.
No. Darkness. What about a smidgen? No. Is there any cancer in him? No. Is there any poverty in him? No. Is there any lack or sickness in him? No. Is there any anger or bad attitude? No. Is there any unforgiveness in him? No. If you, listen, if you've ever said anything like this, well, God did that to him to teach him a lesson. You don't know. Because there's no darkness in him. God took him. God took him. Nuh-uh. There's no darkness in him. That's death. That's darkness. There is none in him. He is only light. Woo! Are y'all getting this? Man, your ministry's about to take off. Some of you have seen success. You've seen things. But man, when you go into business with God, that's the greatest decision you ever made. Right? Well, besides salvation. Now watch what he says next. I'm so glad he did. And if we say that we have what? Now, y'all know what that means, coffee and donuts, right? No. What does it mean?
Partnership.
Works alongside with. And you're a pastor and you're in a ministry and you say that you're working alongside, partnering with God, with him, and you walk in, then you lie and do not know the truth. Now, here's the thing. That word is not salvation. It's not talking about you're not saved all of a sudden. It's just talking about you're not working alongside with him. Are y'all getting this or not? It's pretty plain. You can say you're a minister. You can say, here's my card. Here's my ordination. Here, you can say all that. But if there's any darkness, that's a lie. And you're not working alongside with it. Now, that doesn't mean you're not saved. You're not talking about that. You learn what that word means. It means fellowship, working alongside with. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Right? Now, bad attitude bears. Let's go back. Remember? Am I working alongside? Am I hearing him? Are y'all with me or not? Am I hearing him? Am I saved? Please say yes a little quicker than that. I'm still going to heaven, but I'm not hearing. Why? That's darkness. Darkness will try to come on you in a lot of ways. Things happen. But what do? Well, he'll tell us what to do. Click. But if we what? What does walk mean? Carry on my, come on now, carry onward and upward. Carry it on. Don't just one time receive this and hear it and know it. No, I'm going to get better and better and better and better, and I'm going to get more aware and aware and aware of what is light and what is dark. Because I want to hear him all the time. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have what? What partnership, one with another, in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son that cleanses us from all sin. Click, and then he tells us what to do. Continue on. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Click. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from you can repent. The Lord showed this to me when I was preaching a sermon one day. He says, you don't have to repent. I'm like, what? No, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to get saved. Right. He told me as a pastor to tell my church, you do not have to pay tithes. And any pastor who tells you that is a lie. Yeah. You do not have to. Yeah. And that's what they've heard all their lives. You have to go to church. Mm-hmm. No, the Lord said, you get to. Oh, come on. Come on, somebody. Whole different perspective. You don't have to give. Just never give again. Boy, you get to, though. And let me read you the benefits of when you do. You don't have to walk in love. Hit your neighbor right in the face. But watch what happens to you. But when you walk in love, watch what... Love never fails. Are y'all with me? When you walk in the light. You don't have to walk in the light. You can still go to heaven. You're born again. But when you do. But when you do. You're walking with him. Now your ministry is truly working alongside with God. Amen? So that's what we're gonna do. That's what I want you to drive home to your hotels, wherever you're going, and practice this. Now watch how the Bible warns us of this. Let's go to, and I think of there's no murmuring. Oh, quickly, go to James 1:17. I love that scripture. I don't want to leave that out. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from who? The Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turn. He ain't going to turn. He ain't going to change. Ain't no darkness in him. You got this unforgiveness going on, or you got this whatever it may be going on. Man, get rid of that thing. Anybody have anything against anybody? Amplified Mark 11:25. Forgive them. Let it go. Leave it. You got to learn to leave it. Leave it. I'm not bringing it back up. If what I'm about to say is not going to glorify God, then I'm not going to say it. If you start a conversation, I don't care if you're a minister and you know way more than me, and it's about somebody else, God's children who he loves, and he loves that person just as much as he loves you and me, I'm not going to say it, because I choose to stay in the light. My mama was a professional at that. I couldn't talk about, mama, I want to tell you about my coaches, my teachers, my principal, my this, my that. Honey, if this ain't going to glorify God, because the Bible says pray for them. The Bible says bless them. The Bible says lift them up. Even the ones persecuted. Mama, I didn't really understand it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Ah, Chip, it ain't nothing. Sometimes we get this and some kind. But you have a choice to stay in the light or stay in darkness. I'm not saying losing your salvation. I'm saying what? Not working with God. Listen, seriously. Hard would ministry be? Not God, where are you? As you're in darkness, God, where are you? God, how come you're not listening? You know what he said? Repent. You get to. It puts a gag order on the accuser. He's out of the situation. Now you and God are back in. Glory to God. And all of a sudden, you're being led more, and you're hearing more, and you're seeing more. Yeah, God's the CEO of your church, not you. Amen? Okay, now watch this. There's no murmuring in light. There's no talking about other ministers in light. Yeah, they got a plane, and they get this, and they got that, and they do. That's darkness. Do you not understand? Listen to me, ministers. That's darkness. Yeah. No, what they're doing is darkness. Oh, you leave that up to them and God. Who are you to say? Who are you to say who's in light and who's in dark? Who are you to say goes to heaven and goes to hell? Who are you, ministers? Don't say that from your pulpit. Well, he poor fellow went to hell. Who are you to say that? Amen. That's a dangerous ground. That's very dangerous ground. I just got to tell you, Norville Hayes, I had to pick him up. I was driving him to a meeting. I picked him up from Brother Hagen's house. He said, Chipper, I want to tell you a story. He called me Chipper. Y'all stay in light and don't do that. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I need to stay in light. All right. And he said, I was preaching at his camp meetings back in the day when they were at the convention center, downtown Tulsa Civic Center, whatever, 10,000 people, and I'm up there, and right before I go in, this is years ago, he hears a story about a young man from his hometown, Cleveland, Tennessee, who died. That young man was terrible, cursed God, cursed the church, not one day in his life stepped in church, did terrible things to Christians, persecuted the church. Parents, same way, in and out of prison, everything you can imagine. Worst family in town. And he had heard that the young man just got ran over and hit by a truck or vehicle and died in a car wreck, something. So he goes in, he preaches, and he's preaching about heaven and hell, Norville Haines. 10,000 people. My mama was there. She witnessed this. And he got to the place where he thought about him, and he said, ah, poor fella, went to hell. And when he said that, the power of God knocks him on his back. He is flat out. Oh, pow. How would you like to be preaching in front of 10,000 people and poor fella went to hell? Wha-bam! Well, Brother Hagin was there, and he saw that he was still breathing, so he had everybody pray. And I'm driving him. This is years later. He tells me what happened. He said, Chipper, you want to know what God told me when he knocked me out like that? I said, yes, sir. He said to me, who are you to say? That gives me chills. The creator, the planner. Who are you to say who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? Well, but through Jesus Christ. Oh, man, he's just quoting all this. And he says, let me show you something that you didn't know. And he takes him and he shows him and he reenacts. He shows him where he died. And his heartbeat is slowing down to its last beat. His breath is getting ready to take its last breath. This young man who hated God, hated the church, everything. And God, they were like there. And he said, God said, and before he took his last breath, because of his praying grandmother who you never knew. And he said, I am faithful to those prayers. And all he had to do, and I'm going to reveal myself to him. And all he had to say is, I'm sorry. Now, who are you to say? How do you know what happens in that moment? How do you know what prayers have been prayed and not been prayed? There's powerful prayer. That makes me want to pray for more people. And when you do, you just smile. Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. Amen? Are y'all okay? I know you've been here all day, and you got Mexican food in you. That's why I got to be a little loud. I know how to coach. Some of you is getting ready to do some push-ups back there. Lord, let me let them do push-ups. All right. There's no offense in light. You're not working with God when you're offended. Are y'all with me? When we're talking, when we're pointing, when we're in strife with each other, when we're finger pointing with each other, that's darkness. That's the worst business decision you can make, is get offended or get unforgiveness or mad or angry just because somebody politically. Oh, I'm telling you, ministers get in trouble because of this. And politics, are you kidding me? My God, and you don't even realize that your ministry's suffering. That ain't God's plan. He's in the light. He loves those people you're talking about politically. He loves them. I know, but they love abortion. He don't like that, but he loves them. And you're talking about people he loves. News for you, you're not working alongside with God. Good luck. Isn't that terrible? Good luck. That ain't what God's saying. He's going, come on. Come on. Come on. You got one commandment, stay in love. Come on, love you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with everything you got. What's he trying to say? Stay in the light. That's where your healing is, too. Where your finances are, everything. It's in the light. Amen? Amen? Look at this one. We're wrapping it up right now. Are y'all glad? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you didn't have to say it. You didn't. Okay. Philippians 2:14 and 15. Watch this now that y'all are a little bit more. Y'all have known this, but man, it's just coming more to light. Do all things. What's all mean? Somebody give me the Greek word for all. Very good. See, there's Greek scholars in here. I did a 3-day study, and it means all. Anyway, do all things without what? And the Amplified says finger pointing and anger, finger pointing and something else. Arguing. Do all things without finger pointing and arguing. Why? Okay, let's go on. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Well, who is God? God is
light.
And who are we? The sons of God. Of light. Thank you. Without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Satan is also known as what? I'm thinking of several names, but that's not the one I want. Something of darkness. Prince of darkness. That's one of his titles. Yeah, he doesn't want you to like what that church is doing or what that other minister's doing. Or, yeah, because he knows you're not any powerful in darkness. But if you teamed up over here, woo! He knows this. Without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. What did it start out with? Don't finger point. Don't get in arguments. Don't start doing that. You'll get into darkness. You'll still be saved, but you won't be in fellowship or partnership with him. Are y'all getting this or not? Good. Glory to God. I mean, first time I preach this, I'm in the light, brother. I'm driving, and I must have cut somebody off. This is the first day. And my son's with me. We're driving home from church, and the guy comes by me, slows down, and he goes, boom, one finger. Y'all know which one it is. I don't have to do it. It wasn't number one. And he's staying my speed, and I can read his lip. And I just preached this. And I'm like, my son's like, and man, that flesh starts blowing up. And I just start going, hey. And so he did one last hurrah and then floors it to do his getaway. But I floored it. We're going to, it was Highway 75. And man, I just preached this. And my son goes, Dad, what? Stay in the light. Oh. So I pull over. He took his headphones off. He goes, Dad, stay in the light. Maybe that guy doesn't have a mama that's praying for him. Maybe he doesn't have a grandma. Maybe he's one of those people that you're talking about, that God said he's got people. We're the people God needs to pray for. My son. We grabbed hands and we began to weep and intercede. The anointing hit us. Love filled that place. You know what happened? We went from dark. We went from light to dark to light. Are y'all with me? But what if we walked in the light? What if we stayed there? Amen? And I'll never forget, there was that night was the State of the Union address, and the president was speaking, and I wasn't hearing, and I keep seeing this lady behind him, and she didn't clap when everybody else clapped. And she looked mean and would shake her head no sometimes, and I didn't like what she was doing. Her name was Nancy Pelosi. Oh, Chip, you're getting politics of the church. No, I'm just going to tell you the story. And I get out of my seat and go up to the TV. Now, my wife, Candy, I'm Chip. We're kind of like God's little concession stand. Ba-doom-tsh. My daughter, Cookie, is a producer. And my son, Nacho, is a quarterback. Now, no, it is Chip and Candy, but it's Caleb and Taylor. All right. So, Candy's sitting there, probably eating some popcorn or something. And I went right out in front of TV. She ain't clapping. Look at her. I don't like the way you look at her. Oh, now you want to clap. And all of a sudden, inside of me, I hear, that's darkness. Holy Spirit. And I went, oh, God. And I sensed it. It was a choice. God gave man a chooser and a will to choose. Life or death, to choose blessings or curses. Choose light, not darkness. And I heard, I love her just as much as I love you. Oh, God, I repent. I smile when I said that because I can get right back in the light. Are y'all with me? I'm not under condemnation. I began to pray for her, and I've been praying for her ever since. Yeah, but they believe in this, and they believe in that. We don't like those issues or not, but we're not going to get in darkness towards them personally. That's where the devil will get you right there. He'll get you in his playing ground, his home field advantage. One time I was speaking, and I'm ending it right here. When I was coaching, I was asked to speak all around America, actually. And the series Nike we were doing, I don't know if y'all remember a coach named Bobby Knight, Indiana University. We were on the same tour. He spoke right before me. Okay, one guy knows really Bobby Knight. The rest of them don't know. Bobby chair throwing. They couldn't hardly interview him. F-bomb, F-bomb, GD, GD. Terrible. But the winningest coach maybe at one time in college history at one time, and then the Indiana won several national championships. He was like a god in Indiana. And when people came, they came to hear him, not me. But so he'd get up there, and I mean, it was curse, beep, beep, and then I'd follow him. Now, this is not church folk. This is coaches. Coaches. And I'd get up there and go, man, God is good. Woo! I just want to, first of all, thank God. It was darkness and light, right? And so it happened on that tour that the press was following him because that's when they were getting ready to fire him because of that he choked a guy or something, one of his players. And it was the national media was following. So they're outside the hotel and everything. And I'm watching it from my hotel room. And he goes, they all got with him. What do you think of that? All the microphones. And I can see it outside the window. He said, when I die, I want them to bury me upside down. Does anybody know what's coming next? So that all my critics can kiss my beep. I sat down on that bed, hotel room. God, Bobby, you deserve everything you get, man. And man, God, he did not put up with that. He said, Chip, here it came again. I sent my son for him, and I love him just the same as I love you. Use your name in vain. I love you. God's light. Chip, be one of my people. Help him. Pray for him. And I got down and I made a decision to stay in the light. And I'm going to give you a little coaching tip. When something comes up, speak it out loud. Take no thought saying, speak it. Staying in the light. My wife and I practice this. Honey, I got an issue. Because we have all kinds of issues in church and ministry. This person said this and did that. Well, we're going to stay in light is what we're going to do. And we're going to, but we still had to take care of business. Are y'all with me? But we're going to do it from the light.
That's right.
We're going to do it from love. And these are the people that will be working with him in 2020. Who will they be? Those who walk in the light. Amen. John Osteen's church. So, Mama, I'm listening to her at the barn of John Osteen's church, small. And she stops in the middle of it and says, she starts prophesying. And she said, because of the revelation that God gave that Jew, Einstein. And they had just, when Mom was preaching this, they put the first satellite in orbit, the first one. None of this, what we know. And they were kind of all excited. And because of that technology, God through man now in the light, as he gets closer to the light and in the light and walks in the light, will use this church through technology to reach the world. That church exploded. They received it. The couple hundred that were there. And I don't know if you know this, that church is pretty big. But not just look at us, how big. Are y'all with me? But Joel was taught. Joel was a cameraman. We used to go out and eat dinner and stuff, and Joel would go, and we, as a joke, would go, hey, Joel, you ask the prayer. Have Joel ask the prayer. He wouldn't. He wouldn't talk in front of anybody. But he stayed in the light. His mama kept him in the light, too. And she got healed of that cancer. Man, I'm telling you. And they chose to stay in the light. God, we want to partner with you in this ministry to do what you called this church to do. And the answer, walk in the light. Amen. And the Lord said to me after I preached this, 45 years later, he said, Chip, that word that I gave that church was not just for that church, but every church whose ears hear this word. It's for your ministry. I'll work right alongside with you. I'll schedule you. I'll make the appointments. I'll fill the seat. You preach to those who are there and stay in the light. When you begin to say who's not there, that's darkness. That's fear and that's doubt. Don't preach from that perspective. That's darkness. I'm not there. I'm only light. Love my people. Help my people. Stay in the light. And I'll be working right alongside with you. And 2020 will be a year that you see. Praise God. Thank you for letting me come share that. Pastor.